Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
A couple days ago, I was watching men's beach volleyball at the Tokyo Olympics. All these Olympic games are incredible. These athletes are finely tuned machines. It is fascinating to watch every sport from BMX biking to men's water polo to table tennis. They are all phenomenal athletes. And I was watching men's beach volleyball. Fascinating. And it got me to thinking, let's all take a trip to the beach, you know? Let's just take our shoes off and kind of walk through the sands, maybe roll around in the sand dunes. Doesn't that sound like fun? Come on, let's take a trip to the beach. It's the summertime. The weather's cooler there. Let's just get sand all over our body in places we didn't even think sand could, you know, reach. Let's just have a good time on the beach. You know, the Psalms actually talks about sand. Let me read these verses to you from Psalm 139, verses 17 and 18. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Isn't that amazing? Our God is a good God. So we are in this series that I'm calling Summer in the Psalms. For the rest of the summer, we're just going to hang out in the Psalms. There are different types of genres and typologies of the Psalms. So we began this series by looking at the enthronement Psalms, the praise Psalms. The scriptures remind us that regardless of what we're going through, give God praise. Why? Because He's worthy of praise. There is no one like our God. Last week we talked about the Thanksgiving Psalms. Praise and thanksgiving go together. You can't really have one without the other. And so the Psalms direct us to give thanks to God for His many blessings. Not just around Thanksgiving time, which is good, but all year long. Today we want to look at the Wisdom Psalms. Now usually when you think of wisdom in the Bible, we go to Proverbs, right? It's 31 chapters in Proverbs, and this might actually be a good spiritual exercise for you. Today's the 1st of August. I believe there are 31 days in the month of August. So you got 31 chapters of Proverbs. You got 31 days in the month of August. What do you think I'm going to tell you to do? Read a chapter of Proverbs a day. We all need wisdom. Everybody needs wisdom. And so if you've never done that before, start today with Proverbs chapter 1. And tomorrow, Proverbs chapter 2. And you'll be amazed at how God will just fill you with His wisdom. If you do this assignment that I'm giving you, let me know at the end of the month. Or let me know as you're in it. I'd love to hear what God is saying to you. And so we typically think of the Proverbs as being filled with wisdom, and they are. But the Psalms themselves carry tremendous wisdom. And so I want us to spend some time this morning looking at some of the wisdom Psalms in the book of Psalms. Here's how I know that we desperately need wisdom. And our world desperately needs it. You ever just look around at what's happening in the world? Maybe you're seeing stuff or you're hearing stuff. And you say to yourself, what were they thinking? What were they thinking? Now, we've always said that to some degree or another. But it seems to me that we are saying that more and more with greater frequency. What were they thinking? What was going through their mind? Were they even thinking? That's just an indication to me that our world is rapidly losing wisdom and even common sense. We desperately need wisdom. Our world is so polarized. Our country is incredibly polarized. whether it's politically, and right now with the pandemic, it could be medically. Our world is basically polarized, and you have one half of our country here on this side and the other half of the country here on this side, and they're looking at each other, yelling at each other, not listening to each other, and this side is saying to that side, we're right, you're wrong, and guess what this side is saying to these people over here? No, we're right, and you're wrong. And you know what God is doing as he's up in heaven looking down on all this silliness? He's saying, you're all wrong. Because I alone am God. I know it all. Learn from me. You all need wisdom and understanding. Learn from me. And so the wisdom psalms, the wisdom of the totality of Scripture, is needed more than ever in our incredibly polarized and divisive community, our culture, our society. We need wisdom. Where do we begin? There has to be a starting point. And God's word is faithful, points us exactly the direction we need to go. Turn to Psalm 111. Psalm 111. I referenced this chapter last Sunday, but I want us to look at verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The timeless truth of God's word says, if you want to be a wise person, you got to put God first and you must fear him. Not fear as in I'm scared of the boogeyman. It's not a fear like I'm afraid. It's a reverence. I'm in awe of God. If you've ever been to the Grand Canyon, you look over this incredible, magnificent, beautiful, natural canyon, and you're in awe of the magnificence of it. Now, if you get too close, or if you do, as some people do, try to take a selfie in the edge and fall, and every year there are people who fall, there needs to be a healthy fear of the Grand Canyon. Or the ocean. The ocean is magnificent. You know, we take in its beauty and its magnificence and its power, but there needs to be a healthy reverence of it as well, too, because we know that the ocean can swallow you up in an instant, just like that. And so when it comes to the Lord, we need to be not afraid of him, but in reverent awe of him. He is Almighty God. And I think part of the reason why our culture is in such a mess is that we have no reverence for God any longer. And so when you take away God from the equation, there's no wisdom. That's why we shake our heads every single day and we go, what is going on? What were they thinking? What were they not thinking? Have we just thrown common sense out the window? The scriptures here say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We go on and read, all who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. The book of Psalms actually begins with wisdom. Turn to Psalm chapter 1. Very first chapter in this incredible collection of books called the Psalms. And it begins with wisdom. Blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This incredible book begins with wisdom. And it basically says, if you want to live a righteous life, don't hang out with bad people. I talked about that last week. But it begins by delighting in God, his word, his law. And on his word, on the word of God, we delight. We meditate on it day and night. In my opinion, the single most important thing we do in our worship service, this hour that we have devoted for worship, the single most important thing we do in worship is not the singing, not the preaching. It is when Karen stands and reads the Word of God, or when I open the Bible and I read the Word of God. Why? It's not my opinion. It's not my word. This is the Word of God. Now, we can sing the Word of God, and we do so beautifully as we did today. We can meditate on God's Word. We can craft poetry around God's Word or any kind of other artistry. The single most important thing we do in a public worship service is like when Jesus stood in the synagogue and he opened up the scroll and he read from the prophet Isaiah. The single most important thing we do is read the Word of God. And then we can interpret it, we can wrestle with it, we can ask questions, we can do all kinds of things with it. But simply by reading the Word of God. My preaching style has evolved over the years. I spend more time in my sermons reading Scripture than I ever have before. And you know what? I'm okay with that. Because you don't want to hear my thoughts. Or you may be interested, I don't know. I would just rather allow the Word of God to speak for itself, with its awe, its reverence, its mystery, its transcendent truth. What is sorely lacking is simply the wisdom of God's Word being proclaimed throughout the country. We don't need another televangelist on TV. We just need more Christians reading, meditating, and living out the Word of God. I want to spend the rest of our time just reading Scripture to you. And I want to read a couple of the wisdom psalms. There are many. I had to narrow it down. Turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And we're just going to read several of the wisdom psalms. And I just want you to, as I read, to allow God's Word to wash over you. I may interject some commentary, but then again, the Word of God can speak for itself. Psalm 37, beginning at verse 1. Do not fret because of evil people. Do not be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. That almost sounds like one of the Beatitudes of Jesus, doesn't it? Turn to Psalm 112 and just bask in the wisdom of God's Word. Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the person who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in His commands. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in His house, and His righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and righteous man. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely they will never be shaken. A righteous person will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their heart is secure. They will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked man will see and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. Now here in verse 12, we'll deal with what we call the imprecatory psalms later on in this series, because the psalms do speak quite a bit about the wicked and the evildoers. And some of those passages are difficult, and we'll get to those. Those are called the imprecatory psalms. Turn to Psalm 128. Listen to the wisdom of God's word. Psalm 128. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel, and we can even say peace be upon the United States, and even in Springfield, Oregon. Who among us needs wisdom? We all do. More than ever. And I would even say more so in these days that we're living in. Because already we are hearing and seeing people getting riled up about vaccinations and masking, and we're seeing all this bubbling back up to the surface again. And we as God's people desperately need wisdom from God. How do we respond? How do we live? We need discernment. Wisdom, discernment, and understanding all go hand in hand. And in these days that we're living in, we need wisdom that gives us discernment and understanding. Turn to James chapter 1. God's word tells us what to do in times like this. James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, we should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and God's wisdom will be given to us. But when we ask, we must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. And so when we say, God, I need wisdom. I don't know what to do. I'm confused. God, give me wisdom. The scriptures say here that God will give us wisdom, just like he gives us the gift of salvation. We are saved by faith. Just like he gives us the gift of his Holy Spirit, we are sanctified. We are sanctified by faith. And so when we go to pray and ask God for wisdom by faith, we have to believe that God will impart his wisdom to us. And not doubt that he's going to do this, but no, we take hold by faith and say, God, I've prayed for wisdom, and I'm going to believe and take hold of the fact that you will give me your wisdom. And then we keep going back to God's word, where we gain more wisdom, understanding, and discernment. And God is faithful, and he will faithfully guide us in these days that we're living in. There is a group of musicians who have undergone a pretty incredible undertaking. They have set out to write full-length songs for each chapter of the Book of Psalms. It's called the Psalms Project. You can Google it. Go to psalmsproject.com. Their goal is to write a full-length song for each chapter. That's 150 chapters. They've only released 4 albums so far, and they're up to Psalm 38. I just checked their website this morning. They've just released Psalm 39. It's beautiful music. A lot of it is prayerful and meditative. There are many upbeat songs as well. And so if you want to check them out as we are spending our summer in the Psalms, you're welcome to do that. I'm going to pray here in a minute, and we're going to partake in Holy Communion. And we're going to ask that during communion, you come forward. We will have our masks on and our gloves on, and we will give you the elements. If you can't come forward and you want to stay seated, that's fine. Just wave your hand and we'll come to you. But as we are receiving the elements during this time, I'm going to play Psalm 1 for you during communion time, and you get a sense of what the Psalms Project is like and how it can usher us into God's presence through His Word. But let's pray, and then you come forward on this side and on this side, and we will hand you the elements. Hold on to your elements, and then we will take them together at the end. Let us pray. Father, you are good, and we do need your wisdom. We need understanding, and we need discernment. And your word is faithful and will guide us in the path that we need to go. As we receive the elements today, we do so by faith, trusting and believing that you have saved us, that you are sanctifying us, and you are giving us the wisdom that we need to live in this day that we are in. Amen. Come and receive your elements.
Everything he does shall prosper. chaff, the wind blows away, and the wicked shall not stand in the judgment. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the evil ways of man shall pass away.
Bread represents the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take and eat, knowing that he died for you. The juice represents the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for the sins of humanity, that any who would come after him and seek full redemption and repentance would find eternal life. Take and drink, knowing that Christ died for you. And would you stand with me and let's sing the doxology together as we're dismissed. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Go in the grace and power and wisdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are dismissed. God be with you.